Sister May.
All right. Well, good morning again, sisters. It's my honor and my privilege to introduce Sister Andrea Lorick. Sister Lorick is a native of Baltimore, Maryland, the East Side, and she says she's proud of it. She was added to the body on February 10th, 1994. Thankfully, she has been married to Brother Eric Lorick for over 40 years. They both serve at the Inner City Church of Christ, where Brother Eric Lorick is the minister. And I just want to stop here and mention that this is a work that they started several years ago with a purpose in mind to meet the needs of the people who live in inner city Baltimore, where they face many, many challenges of poverty, of discouragement. They were living on purpose. They chose to work in that area and they continued to do a great work. For the past several years, Sister Lorick has taught ladies Bible courses, coordinated women's retreats, and spoken at women's luncheons and the annual Ladies of Virtue Conference. She is a graduate of the Sunset Bible Institute and Northeast Baltimore Bible Institute and College. And need I say, she was an A student. She retired in 2021 from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, after 30 years of service. Her life walk scripture is Ephesians 4:11-13. And I want to read that from the New Living Translation. Now, these are the gifts of Christ that he gave to his church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce my sister and friend who is living on purpose, the purpose that God designed for her, Sister Andrea Lorick.
Well, thank you, Sister May. I'm not sure where you got that bio from, but you are resourceful, aren't you? You are very resourceful. First of all, ladies, I want to thank you for the invitation from Sister Johnson, ladies at the Beltway Church of Christ, for allowing me to encourage you today prayerfully. I will move myself out of the way to make sure that it's the word that I leave you with. I'd like to thank the ladies from the Inner City Church of Christ who I know are working, but I see them, their faces up, so they're listening. And I appreciate the fact that you took time out of your day to do that as well. When I received from Sister May the theme for your words of encouragement that I might know him, I pulled up the scripture that I thought it referred to, which was Philippians 3:10-11. I'm not sure if my PowerPoint is up yet.
Not yet.
Okay. And I wonder while we're waiting for it to come up, I wanted just to read that scripture. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any answer I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Sister, should I be sharing or should you be sharing?
Yeah, I believe you have the file to share. Yes, ma'am. There you go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's why the PowerPoint wasn't up. Okay. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Let me move down to here. When I saw the scripture verse, I was stunned by how much meat was in just two or three verses that I had to be much more specific about my word of encouragement today. There's no way that anyone could cover that in a few minutes. And I realize also, and I understand that you have been studying this for quite a while, so all of you are already studying the scripture in its context. But what I wanted to look at in terms of words of encouragement for today is something Sister Ty said last night as well. We live in such a time, and Sister Ty used the term faith building challenges. I so was moved by that, faith building challenges. We have three generations of people who are all experiencing something that we haven't experienced before, whether we're the baby boomers or the Generation X or the millennials, that has challenged our faith, not just in one generation, but I think in all three. I didn't mention the Generation Zs right now. I'm talking about the generations of us, the three generations of us Christians who are now totally involved, regardless of our age, to address this change of hatred, of downplaying who Christ is, this challenge of circumstances that seem to bombard our lives at this time to vex our spirit, and how we as Christians have to have the right attitude about this challenge. Do we look for a way out, or do we look for how to get through it? That's the question I think we need to ask ourselves as individuals. Do we pray for strength in his will, or relief from this inconvenience, from our hurt feelings, from our prideful desires? Do we meditate day and night on his word, or do we live in anxiety of the next day, of the next live stream, of the next newscast, the next text message? Do we walk in his presence of peace, or live in this world of judging others to have less worth than ourselves? That's hard. I have sons and grandsons who live in America, who are stopped on the street, who live in dangerous situations just by being in America. But is my focus solely to be on that, and those people who hate me or hate us and don't even know us, am I to pray for them as well? How am I to overcome these challenges? We are commanded to love those who hate us, to pray for those who despitefully use us, What then are we to do when we're under spiritual attack? And mind me, it is spiritual attack. 1 John 5:4 says, we overcome this attack by our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. We at Inner City for several weeks have been studying the Holy Spirit. In an effort to remind us where our will, our power comes from. And in encouraging you today, I want you to remember, connect with become absorbed in the power that you have, which you all Christians have been given at their new birth, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us Christians as being child of God. It's the Christians are said to receive sanctification through the Holy Spirit. We know the sanctification means you've been set apart. You've been set apart, sisters, for this time, for this age, for this calamity of sin that all three generations I spoke about are living in right now. This is our calling. This is our time to encourage others that there is a God, that there is hope, that we do not pray to fix this. We pray for the strength to show others how to get through to the other side. If you're 18 or 108, this is the calling of the Christian to show the world, to witness to the world, to encourage everyone you meet that God is alive, that our power comes from Him, and we are not dependent on our own personal resources to do this. I encourage you in the maturing of your faith, the building of your relationships with Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. And when you do this, make no mistake, in turn, you build relationships with one another, because you're building relationships upon the same purpose. Each of us look differently. Each generation is a different age, but our purpose is the same. Our lives witness to the world that there's hope, there's peace, there's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are real. I encourage you today, sisters, do not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. For you beautiful faces that I see out there, I think it's 22 of you. You are the ones who will change the world individually because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Please, tap into your power. There's a poem I came across. A friend of mine is quite a poet. She didn't write this poem, but she has me reading more poetry. And I wanted to read this poem to you. It's a prayer, but it talks about times such as these. The poem is simply Knowing God. Guard our hands from muck and mire. Take our rags and mold them into pertinent use. Let our words not bring abuse, nor apathy or grumbling. And even in our fumbling, let us show you today, Jesus. The enemy will make days look futile. He will dangle self-fulfilling prophecies in front of our eyes. You failed yesterday. It will come again. He will distract, discourage, despise. Shut his mouth, O Lord, that grave weaker than one of you raise. And put truth on our lips to spit back at him. Help us not give in to unlove, to self-focus, to believing all this work is hopeless. Give us grace to give all glory to you. And you who hold and weave and hem us in behind and before, let us not miss any open doors. But let us walk through, looking at you, loving them because your life is in our veins, giving them grace because you covered our stains, not holding grievances because ours were born on your cross, and bearing the burdens of our other workers because you're the head. So let us not try to be. God, take control of this day. Let our lips bring you praise as we stand in your mercies, knowing you're enough. Until tomorrow, when we will rest in you again. Ladies, I hope that these few words have been encouraging to you. It encouraged me as I did the study. I'm encouraged by the number of beautiful women you have on a Tuesday afternoon at 12 o'clock to take time out of their day to encourage each other. This is beautiful. My prayer is for you to continue your work at Beltway, to each one of you be the light that I can see you already are, and that you know that your strength comes from the Holy Spirit. He won't let you down. You are a chosen people, as they say, a royal priesthood. It is not circumstantial. He's always there for you. Thank you for the opportunity. And I think I'm going to stop that right there. This PowerPoint is with the scriptures on it. I didn't go over all the scriptures. I can send to you. That's not an issue. All studies are always a beginning of a study. And we, as you know, we study until we close our eyes. Mm-hmm. But if you have any other questions, I'm going to stop the PowerPoint. There we go. And turn it back over to Sister Alice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister, for an awesome lesson. At this time, we'll open up the floor to anyone who would like to provide some words of encouragement to Sister Andrea.
Well, I just want to say, you know, I just, you don't even have to say anything, but what you have said was wonderful. I know of your living testimony and so admire you, and I admire Brother Eric. I because you walked to the challenge. And you said we are commanded to love any body that would put a church over a liquor store is walking to the challenge to love. So I just so appreciate you speaking on overcoming the challenges, and that's how we get to know Christ. He sets us apart to do his work, and so thank you for summarizing it and capsuling it for us, but I'm going to stop right now because I just enjoyed your message. I enjoyed your preparation because I knew that you were going to tell us, and then you were going to leave us with something in writing to study later. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much, Sister Laura. That was a great lesson, and I was just in awe the whole time.
And if we have anyone on the phones, I may have muted you, so you'll have to do *66, I believe. Anyone on the phones? All right, I'm going to stop the recording at this time.